T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Here we go at 6 o'clock, happy hour indeed. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., final show this week. We will be off tomorrow. Well-deserved, I must say. But we appreciate everybody who joins us on a daily basis, including the likes of Charlie Hoffman from the PGA Tour, who called in today. You will hear
awesomeness.
Some of that in our happy hour a little bit coming up shortly. I want to remind you, Ballast Point Brewing Company and the Padres Foundation are teaming together to benefit Feeding San Diego's COVID-19 relief efforts through sales of the official craft beer of the Padres, Ballast Point's Swingin' Friar Ale. For each case sold from March, when California's mandatory quarantine began, through June 30th, Ballast Point and the Padres Foundation will donate $1 each, or will donate $1 each toward Feeding San Diego, one of the city's top hunger relief organizations. So thanks to the Padres and Ballast Point Brewing Company for their efforts on Feeding San Diego during these COVID-19 relief efforts. We have had a good show today. We're going to finish it up strong here with a final happy hour. Going to get to Charlie Hoffman's surprise call-in here in just a little bit. But I think last time we played this game, Tony Gwynn Jr. was victorious. And right. We'll see if he can get a repeat victory out of it. It's called Two Truths and a Lie. And I don't know if it has an open or not.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Just going to let you know. That's unusual for a Scraby-created game. Usually his opens are on point for those games.
When he comes up with an idea for a game, he makes the open beforehand.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Okay, I'll go with it.
You want to explain how this game works, Scraby?
Yes.
Would you like me to try, since you just asked me during the break how it works?
I can try, and then you can rip my try apart if you want.
All right.
But it's called Two Truths and a Lie, and it's pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to give 3 statements that are presumed true, and one of them is actually false, and the guys are going to have to guess which one is false. Is that good?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll give you about a 6.
A 6?
Yeah.
Out of a 6?
No, out of like 100.
Oh, man. I got 6% on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get started. And since Tony is the champ, Tony is going to be the one to guess first.
Okay.
Say that again. Tony's the what?
You're the champ, so you
I
get
like
to guess first.
I like the way that sounds.
I see what you're doing there. You just wanted me to repeat it.
Wanted to hear that. Hey, Scraby.
Yes.
I understand Tony is the champ.
Champ is here. Champ is here.
It's got a good ring.
Yeah. I was a champ for 3 games in a row, and then I was unseated.
We're not talking about that anymore.
Yeah, those are old times.
These MLB players won MVP. One did not. Yogi Berra, Alan Trammell, Miguel Tejada. Tony, which one did not win MVP?
Alan Trammell.
All right. Chris?
I happen to know this one.
Do you?
I do.
What is it?
It's the 1984 World Series MVP, Alan Trammell.
That was too good. Too easy for you guys. I wanted to start you off with an easy one. We move on to...
Just because we got it right doesn't make it easy. We just happened to get it right.
It was a
Give
softball.
Us a little credit.
It was a softball. Come on.
God,
come on. Yogi Berra won like 150 MVPs, okay?
Or 3.
I knew Chris would know off the top of his head. All right, next one. Chris, you're going to go first on this one. All 3 of these presidents served 2 terms, and one is false. Woodrow Wilson, George H.W. Bush, John Quincy Adams.
Oh, man. Well, Chris. I was alive during the presidency of John Quincy Adams. I can't remember exactly how long he served. Woody Wilson and I were good golfing friends. I'm pretty sure H.W. did make it to a second term, so it's between the other two in my mind, and I shouldn't have said that because I don't want to give Tony any hints.
I was on the same page anyway. You're good.
Okay. John Quincy Adams. Now I'll go with Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, I'm also
say he
going,
had a one-term presidency.
I'm saying I'm also going A, Woodrow Wilson.
You're going A, Woodrow Wilson. I'm doing a little fact-checking right now.
He's double-checking his
answer.
What
are you fact-checking?
Sure.
How did you not know this going into the question?
He doesn't trust his own answer.
No, I do, but you both got it wrong. Oh. Woodrow Wilson did have two terms. George H.W. Bush had one term, and I just looked up, John Quincy Adams had one term as well, but you both picked the wrong one, so no one gets
Wait,
a point.
George H.W. Bush
so there was
only
two
had
answers
one term?
To that one.
I'm pretty sure he only had one term.
Wait, George H.W. is the first or second? That's the second
He's the
one.
First,
first one.
First, but yeah, he only had one term.
Yeah, he was in office from 89 to 93.
All right.
And Quincy, ooh, bad picture of John Quincy on Wikipedia.
So basically, you completely boxed this question.
That one, yes, but you both guessed Woodrow Wilson, and you both were wrong, so I get off
so
the hook.
So even worse, we missed. What you should have asked is one of these guys had a two-term presidency. The correct answer was Woodrow Wilson. Therefore, Tony and I, you both, we got the right,
the right
answer.
Guess
Woodrow
what?
Woodrow Wilson.
Guess
you
what?
Just asked the wrong question. That was the problem.
Guess what? I was trying to ask the question I was trying to ask. I had the wrong answers, okay?
No, you asked the wrong question. Tony and I recognized you asked the wrong question, and we
knew
both
it.
Got the correct answer of the man who served two terms, Woody Wilson.
Woody Wilson. false. 1-1 still. Moving on. Tony, you're up first. All three of these NFL players won Super Bowl MVP, and one did not. Deion Branch. Julian Edelman, Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin.
All right. Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to go Michael Irvin on that one as well.
I need to make my questions harder because you guys are correct.
Do you need to double check that one, too?
Why do you have to make them harder when we get them right?
We just know what we're talking about, bro.
We just... Okay. You guys are tied 2-2. Two truths and a lie. All three celebrities were born in 1981. The three celebrities are Britney Spears, Beyonce, John Krasinski. Chris, you're up first.
Oh, this is really tough. So 1981 would put them all at
38.
39 years
39.
Old.
39, right.
39.
Beyonce won't be 39 until September, though, so.
Wow. Talk about a stalker. Jeez.
Guess I'm not going to answer that. All right. I'll bite. I'll say Britney Spears is not that old.
Okay. Chris says Britney Spears. Tony, which celebrity was not born in 1981? Britney Spears, Beyonce, or John Krasinski?
John Krasinski.
Tony takes the lead. He is correct. With John Krasinski, he was born in 1979.
Aha.
1979.
Did you ever watch the show I told you to watch on YouTube that John Krasinski did called Some Good News?
Yeah, but it's too...
I have not got a chance to watch that
yet. You didn't like it, Scrape?
It's too positive for me.
Oh, of course it is.
We don't live in a world where it's just roses and sunshine
well,
all the time.
We clearly do not, but that's the whole idea of the show, is to try and make you feel a little better about things.
I know.
Tony, and I think Scraby just proved that you should watch it because the show obviously does exactly what it sets out to do, which is to upset people with the mindset of a Scraby.
Yeah. With the mindset of a Scraby.
Yeah.
All right, Tony leads 2 truths and a lie, 3-2. And Tony, you are going to be up first in this one. All three of these players have won 3 Cy Youngs: Pedro Martinez, Tim Lincecum, Greg Maddux.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
The question again? I'm sorry, I wasn't quite listening.
All three of these players have won three Cy Youngs. Pedro Martinez, Tim Lincecum, Greg Maddux.
It's got to be Tim Lincecum.
All right, Tim Lincecum. Chris, what do you have to say?
I'm trailing, but I got to go with Tim Lincecum also. I thought he only won two, so I'm going to go with him.
You both are correct. Tim Lincecum only won two. Score is 4-3. Moving into the sixth question. Two truths and a lie. Chris, you're up first. One of these players had a five. Oh, sorry. Let me start over. I'm really terrible at hosting this game. I'm going to get better for the next time.
You invented it. You can't do it.
I know. I'm going to get better for the next time. I promise, or we'll never play this stupid game again. All of these players have had a five touchdown game in the NFL, and one did not. Two truths and a lie. OJ Simpson, Ricky Waters, Clinton Portis, Chris.
Seems I'd have remembered OJ, so I'll say him.
Okay, OJ Simpson.
Yep.
Tony?
The juice is loose.
You're going to say you guys are both saying he did not have a five touchdown game.
He did not have a five. I remember Ricky Waters for sure. So
you both are correct. OJ Simpson never had a five touchdown game. I do not remember Ricky Waters doing that, but I love Ricky Waters.
I do remember Ricky Waters. I don't remember Clinton Portis, but
I don't remember Clinton Portis either.
I could understand not remembering Clinton Portis. OJ Simpson, I think I would have remembered that one.
All right, game is Tony is leading by 1-5-4 in two truths and a lie. Last one, here we go.
This is it?
Yes.
Okay.
We did seven last time, but I can expand it for the future if you would like.
No, this is fine.
All right. All of these NASCAR drivers have won 80 or more races. Two truths and a lie. Dale Earnhardt, Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, and Tony, you're up first.
Who didn't win 80?
Yes.
Oh, that's Dale Earnhardt. Wait, right. We talking about junior or we talking about senior? We're talking
senior.
About senior. Oh, well, yes. Let me rephrase that. It was Earnhardt, Gordon, and who?
Jimmy Johnson, El Cajon.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
All three of those guys didn't win it?
Oh, we have new music for the closing question.
Let's go, gosh, maybe it is. I'm going to go Earnhardt.
Ooh,
I'm going to go.
All right, Tony goes Earnhardt. Chris, out of these three drivers, all of them... I really suck at this game.
All you do is just say that they all did it.
I know. All three of these drivers have won 80 or more NASCAR races. Dale Earnhardt, Jimmy Johnson, or Jeff Gordon?
Jeff Gordon, I'm sure, did it. The other two, I'm not 100% sure, but I need to catch up and tie, so I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson.
For the win, Tony is correct. Dale Earnhardt only won 76 races. Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon were both... Jeff Gordon was in the 90s, 93, I believe. And I think Jimmy Johnson was 86. So,
right.
In a horribly hosted game, Tony wins two truths and a lie. And I promise everyone right now that I will be better next time.
Yeah, learn how to host the game.
Yeah, right? I should. That was really bad.
It's a good game.
I'll have better questions next time. I really mailed this one in, guys. I just
I thought the questions were fine. It's just the hosting.
They just weren't asked correctly. Laughing,
yeah, I know. I kept confusing myself writing them, and I'm like, oh man, which one is the one again?
All right. Yeah. All you have to do is remember. Just make three statements.
Yes.
And then one of them is a lie. That's it.
That's it.
I mean,
easier said than
done. If you need my help next time, just call me at home.
I will. I'll call you at home.
Go over it before the program begins. All right. Congratulations, Tony. You're still the champ, by the way.
Thank you.
Champ is here.
Champ is still the champ. Five. What was the final score? 6-4?
It was
Tony only missed
four,
one.
Yeah. 6-4.
Tony was pretty tough on that game. So how come now that he wins 6-4, you don't say, oh, my questions were so easy.
I said my questions were bad.
The champ is here!
That's all Tony wants to say over and over and over again.
All right, we got to wrap up our Stratomatic game. We got to get to what happened earlier in the show today when Charlie Hoffman of the PGA Tour called us in on his own dime. We will have that for you. All still to come on our happy hour. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. We return with more of the Gwynn and Chris radio program in just a moment. First, a check of traffic with Kelly Danik.
What are you looking forward to doing when California reopens? Use the hashtag MoveCaliforniaForward and visit radio.com/MoveCaliforniaForward for more information. Shout out to Kirk Kenny, who's always listening and giving some tips to Scraby.
Well, Scraby needs them.
He did. For that last game, he definitely
Scraby doesn't even know that we pay Kirk on the side just to keep an eye on Scraby. So.
Yeah, that's how bad it gets sometimes.
Yeah.
Last Dance has ended, and obviously there seems to be some hurt feelings among some of the people that were involved, Scottie Pippen being one of them. And that is reportedly. We haven't actually heard from Scottie himself. We know Horace Grant is quite salty about it. One guy who we didn't hear from at all is Karl Malone. And so, of course, when we don't hear from you, we start pulling up old videos of the most recent time we heard. And, of course, today, if a story on Karl Malone did with E60 back in February of 2019 surfaced. And this is him talking about Jordan.
Talk to me about the Game 6 finals in Utah when he stole the ball.
Why do I have to? But I'll tell you this, I'm all man, and I accept the responsibility for not winning one, and we were there. We just happened to be playing the Chicago Bulls, which wasn't just Michael Jordan, by the way. And I have the utmost respect for Michael, but I never thought I was playing Michael Jordan. I was playing the Chicago Bulls. But let's not, you know, everybody say this person was a bad man and all that. Well, yes, I give them respect. But I got a set up. I'm a man. And I was a bad son of a bitch, too. So that's how I look at that. And that's who I am. Maybe in my older years, I can call it that bluntly. But I'm just calling it like I see it.
That is very bluntly. And
yeah,
Carl,
I don't know
that
he's
going
to be able to get more blunt than that.
He told no lie. He told no lie. Karl Malone was certainly a bad, bad man. And most competitors don't necessarily like talking about an opponent that, in this case, had a whole bunch of problems with.
Yes,
In terms of on the court. I don't know.
They didn't have a problem off. Yeah,
the court.
He didn't say. I mean, but that could have been in the Last Dance. He could have been quoted again. I understand that he doesn't like talking about it, but he's right when he talks about not playing against Michael Jordan, because he had Dennis Rodman following him all around for both of those series.
Yes, he did.
And that had to drive him absolutely crazy, including the one shot where Rodman basically pulls him down to the floor, pulls him down again. Malone gets up. Rodman slaps him on the backside. Malone slaps Rodman on the backside. I mean, can you imagine having to carry Rodman up and down the court with you for two straight years in the finals? That would drive anybody crazy. So
yeah, no, and Dennis, not only was he one of the master rebounders, he was also one of the masters at mind games. He could get under his opponent's skin better than anybody I think we've ever seen in the NBA. I really, really do believe that. And that was part of his superpower. Not only did he have an amazing ability to be able to tell where the ball was going to come off the rim and be the first to it, but over the course of four quarters, he had an amazing ability to get under your skin and get you a technical foul. He was okay taking his technical fouls, but he would get you out of your game. And Karl Malone probably handled it better than most, but you know, it was a tough task for him as well.
Tough for anybody. Tough to watch Rodman, even when he was on your side.
It was still tough.
That's how good he was at doing what he did. I don't know. You know, the other part is Pippen and whether you know or not he's mad or whatever. And there's a lot of people that say he's really livid.
Yeah,
at the way
that.
He was portrayed in the docuseries. How do you like that word, Scraby? Is that all right? Is that okay with you, or do you still need to call it a mini series or a
so-called docuseries,
a soap opera, whatever you call it?
So-called.
If Pippen is really angry, if he is, and we don't know because we haven't heard from him, but if he really is angry about the way he was portrayed, I say he's kind of SOFTTTTT because I don't believe he was portrayed poorly.
SOF capital T.
Yeah, that's when I'm going to call out Scottie Pippen if he's really upset with the way he was portrayed, because I didn't I didn't get any of that. The only negative thing about Scottie Pippen, I mean, look, he played through incredible pain in that one game, the flu game. Was it the flu? Oh, no, the last game, the sixth game. He played with incredible fortitude to get through that last game with the back injury. The only thing that was negative about Pippen was when he didn't go into the game, and that was his own doing. I mean, you can't say that somebody portrayed you that way. That's exactly what happened. And you really were even asked about it, and you still said you would do the same thing. So I don't think Pippen was portrayed badly at all. I really don't.
And then you really
I must have watched a different show than he apparently did.
And then you really can't tell the story of those two runs without telling that. Like, it's not like you could just skip over it and you'd be telling the same story. You really couldn't. And I felt the same way you did. I didn't view those two mistakes. I should say one mistake that he made throughout the course as something that would portray him in a negative light. Now, I did read, according to Stephen A. Smith, who said he spoke with Michael before The Last Dance even started. He was told that Michael told him that Scottie had been okay with it, had seen it before it came out, and seemed to be fine with it. So you have to wonder, is it the way everybody else feels it was portrayed that is now making Scottie feel this way? If, of course, he's even mad about it at all. But it would seem that guys like him and probably Phil, if he wanted to, because I know Jerry Harrison Jr. got to see it before it came out, so I can't imagine
if he got to see it.
That he got to see it, and Scottie Pippen didn't get to see it before it came out.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of this stuff about Scottie Pippen being upset about the way he was portrayed is scraby journalism. I really do.
It just seems like scraby journalism,
where you kind of make up a story just because it fits your narrative. And then you go with it. And that's the way Scraby does journalism.
Can we stop throwing me under the bus like that?
Well, it is. I mean, your whole narrative through in the entire Jordan documentary is the fact that this is, you know, told one-sided and it's not really real and it's not true and none of it really happened.
I did not say anything of that.
It's like somehow those 6 years of my life, I just remember completely incorrectly, according to you. But I don't know. I don't see Scottie Pippen being – I could certainly see him being a little embarrassed about the coming out of the game thing, but that was his own doing. And he was also asked about it. He could have clarified it very simply by saying, I made one real big mistake in my career. That was it. But he didn't say that either. So that's his way of choosing to look at it.
I will say it does seem a little odd that we haven't heard from Scott at all since this documentary had come out. I mean, we've heard from him obviously in the doc, but we haven't heard him actually speak about it since it's come out. So hopefully those two, if there is some animosity there, they can get that ironed out. They've been friends far too long to let something like this, bog down their relationship. So we got to get to break. When we come back, man, earlier today, the show was on fire, partly because we had Michael Collins on, but then Charlie Hoffman called in, PGA Tour golfer, called in middle of the show and gave his take. We're going to play that for you when we return. Plus, we got some Strat-O-Matic baseball. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
San Diego Police will be fully staffed for the Memorial Day weekend. They are strongly advising the public to not gather in groups of 10 or more. Unlike a number of local tribal casinos opening this week, this
fan.
Sour Gwen and Chris brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. As we all start to get back on the road again, now is the perfect time to think about taking a California Motorcyclist Safety course. Whether it's your first time on a motorcycle or you've ridden before, anyone can benefit from learning the latest skills and techniques. Visit CaliforniaMotorcyclist.com to learn more. 6:34 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Wrapping things up, before we get to our interview of the day, let's close things out in our Strat-O-Matic baseball game today. The San Diego Padres in Miami taking on the Marlins, final game of this three-game series. When we last left, the Marlins had a 3-1 lead over the Padres, but In the top of the seventh inning, Padres got something going. Eric Hosmer's second RBI single of the game made it a 3-2 game. Josh Naylor walked, and that set up Francisco Mejia with an RBI single that tied the game 3-3. Padres able to keep the rally going. They would go ahead on a bases-loaded walk by Trent Grisham. And then Manny Machado would cap off the five-run rally with a two-run single. Padres go from behind to ahead 6-3. Brian Anderson answered with a solo home run for Miami in the bottom of the seventh, but that was as close as the Marlins would get. Drew Pomeranz in relief picks up the victory. Kirby Yates nails down his 13th save. Jordan Yamamoto takes the loss as the Padres rally to beat the Miami Marlins 6-4 in Strat-O-Matic baseball today. And that improves the Padres' record to 28-22, 50 games into the season. Next up is a four-game wraparound weekend series in Cincinnati against the Reds. And you can get all the details on all of the Strat-O-Matic stuff. Follow along on our webpage at 973thefansd.com. Scraby has recaps, he has statistics, and he has box scores for you. All right, Tony, you ready? We had a lot of fun today with Michael Collins on the program talking PGA Golf Tour. And then Charlie Hoffman, PGA Tour professional from Poway, decided he wanted in on the conversation as well. Here's how it all sounded.
Michael, let me ask you this. On a little bit of a series, you know, one of the things you talked about last time you came on was there would be some hesitancy when things did return of some of the players. And right on point, you hear from Lee Westwood, you hear from guys like Scott.
Adam Scott.
Who said they're not going to be participating at least immediately. Talk a little bit about that. How's the PGA Tour going to handle these type of things?
Look, man, here's what the truth is. The truth, number one, Lee Westwood is not a member of the PGA Tour. So it's a little easier for him to just say, look, I'm not playing. And he was going to take sponsors' invitations and play. But now he's like, you know what? To play two events, have to quarantine at home or quarantine for 2 weeks over there before I go play for 2 weeks and then quarantine two more weeks when I get home? Nah, I'm not doing that. And for Adam Scott, financially, he's all right. And, you know, he's fine. So he's the same thing in Australia. It's like, why am I – there's no rush for me to come back there. There's two lines of thought here. One, which I was just talking about on SportsCenter, like Harold Barnes III, who I talked to. Not a millionaire, but he's doing all right. But he's like, look, he used the line from Shawshank Redemption. I can get busy living or I can get busy dying. I want to play golf, man. I'm going to get busy living. Like, I know what the risk is, and I'm just not afraid. So I'm cool with whatever they got to do. As long as I can go play golf and compete, cool, let's do it. And I think guys like Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, those guys are in the same boat. Like, they don't have to compete. Then you got guys who are a little bit older with families, like Pat Perez, who's like, man, we coming back way too soon. If we have to jump through all of these hoops, we got all these protocols, and now Monday is 2 weeks. Monday, we still don't have protocols in place for everything. Like, how's the social distancing going to work when the rain hits? And how's it going to work with the umbrella? Like, if the player's only allowed to touch the equipment, when it starts raining, and we're going to Dallas in June, it's going to rain in Fort Worth. Like, that's going to happen. How's the umbrella work? Like, the player can't hold the umbrella and putt at the same time. That's stupid and illegal. Right. Like, all those protocols are not in place. Or if there's a thunderstorm at 11:30 and half of the field is warming up on the driving range and the other half is on the golf course, you're going to tell me there's going to be social distancing when 200 caddies and players show up at the parking lot and are told to just get in their cars and sit in their cars? Like, sorry, we know that ain't going to happen. Or the caddy. So Pat's right when he says, if we're not ready to just do this how we are supposed to do it, then what's the rush? But you know what? When push comes to shove, he's still going to play. Yep. And then there's the last group of dudes. The last group of dudes is if you're 125 in the FedEx Cup and you just came off the Corn Ferry Tour or you're a rookie on the PGA Tour, you ain't got millions of dollars. You probably ain't got thousands of dollars. You know what you got? A mortgage. You know what you might have? Wife and kid. You know what they need? Food. You know what you got to do? Pay bills and turn the electricity on. So if you're off for 3 months, Like, you're going to play these events not because you're because you feel safe. You're going because you have to.
Right.
Now, the one good thing that the PGA Tour did do was they said, if you have status on the PGA Tour this year, whatever it is, it's carrying over to next season. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're inside the top 125, if you're financially okay and you don't feel safe playing, don't worry about it, because you're going to have a job next season. And that's their kind of out that they haven't really put out there. You know, what they are putting out there is, you know, guys are independent contractors and they can choose whether or not to play. Yeah, okay. Right. Like, come on, don't give me the sunshine and rainbows and don't be trying to, like, bend me over and do the little Skittles commercial on me. Come on now. Let's be honest. Let's tell us the truth. You know, think about this. May 7th, the tours, here was their standing. If a caddy tested positive, the player had the option of taking a local caddy or using a push cart. A push cart. That was May 7th. May 8th, it changed. May 8th, they were like, nah, no push carts. We don't like the way it looks. So my question to the tour was, how are you going to test the local caddies? And if they're going to be staying in their house, like, how are you going to know who they're hanging out with or who they're touching or associate, where they're going to eat? Like, how are you going to monitor that if you're testing them the same way you're testing everybody else, which is taking a temperature and asking a questionnaire? And you know what their response was? That's on the plate of the health and safety committee. We haven't come out with anything. So you don't know is what you're saying. Is you don't know. And that's one of the problems that I have right now, is that if we're going to do this and sustain playing golf, I don't know is not a good answer. Because the last thing the tour needs is if they play for 2 weeks and by the second week, four or five guys test positive, four or five caddies test positive, 10 or 15 dudes. Now what? Because if you shut it down again, now you got to shut it down for a while. And that's where Pat Perez is right. And he said straight up, he was like, let me tell you something. This I'm quoting Pat Perez. He goes, I won't use the language he used, but he goes, if I'm in the lead of a tournament and they come tell me that they think I'm positive and they're going to make me WD or give me last place money, I'll see you in court. We'll be in quarantine court. You'll be getting sued like a mo. And I was like, all right, then. Okay.
Pat Perez is a San Diego guy, so I'll stick up for him no matter what he says. Hey, Michael.
Man, he's a co-host on, look, me and Pat do a show on SiriusXM every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 Eastern, and he goes off the rails. It's called Out of Bounds because we, you know,
go out of bounds.
There's no rules. Yeah, we go out of bounds. Like, we say all this. Let me put it this way. My big check comes from Disney as an ESPN employee, so I just hope they don't listen for my little check, because you get a little crazy on that show a little bit.
Well, we like how you get crazy on this show. I wish we had more time, but you know, I think you bring up some great points, Michael, because I was going to add, I mean, the golf is coming back, and the question I really had was, are they really ready? And I think you've kind of answered that. They aren't really ready, but they're coming back anyway, and we're just going to all have to cross our fingers and hope that it all works out, I guess. I mean, that's all we can do right now.
That's the thing about this is, I mean, let's play the numbers game, and if we're being honest with one another, and I think we all should be, does anybody truly believe that 288 guys that are on the PGA Tour and travel as much as we travel, that not one of those guys either has had it or might have it now? Does anybody truly believe that? And do you think four states in 4 weeks, we're going Texas, South Carolina, Connecticut, and Michigan, do you think in those, all that travel, that nobody's getting it anywhere?
Some of those spots are the spots on the rise right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying, especially in Texas. So is the juice worth the squeeze? Apparently, because we're still going. And I'll be the first one to say to everybody, too, I might sound like doom and gloom, but I'm telling you, I am fighting my booty off to go out there and cover these events, because I want to see how this goes down too. So it's like, I know the risk and I still want to go too, because I'm like, I want to see how this plays out, and I don't want to just see it on TV. I want to be there so I can tell all of y'all, here's how it's going down. And I don't know that they're going to let me do that. I don't know yet. I'm still fighting for it.
Michael, we really love having you on the show. It's great.
No doubt about it. Good luck. Good luck. Make sure you stay safe, man. And come back above all else and have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be weird not going to barbecues. You know what I mean? Like,
No doubt.
I'm cooking hamburgers for people to not come in. Woohoo! Let's all get fireworks off at the same time.
Hey! Michael Collins, ESPN. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. We'll check in with you sometime down the road, hopefully when we get back to some golf here.
Yeah, whatever. We can talk next week about what happened or what didn't happen. Whatever.
Sounds good to me.
What am I going
to
do?
We'll book it.
I'll let you, boy. Yeah.
We will book it. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks,
Michael Collins, ESPN, joining us there on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Vote SDCCU for Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Wow. You know, because of him, I can never eat an egg salad sandwich the same way again.
Well, hold up. We have on the line right now PGA Tour player himself, Charlie Huffman, on the line on the SDCCU Fan Hotline.
Okay,
Charlie, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm a big fan of the show. Never called in before. Listening, actually driving down the beach to hang out for the weekend and enjoy some good times. But I got to set Michael straight on this one. Everything he's saying is not true. I'm on the policy board and PAC chairman. I represent all the players, and it's a different story than what he's displaying. Well, first of all, I don't even know.
Enlighten us, please, Charlie.
Yeah. You know what? If you do this right and the players do this right, and he raised a lot of good points, but it's just like you going into a grocery store. Are you going to stay 6 feet apart from everybody? You're going to try.
Yeah.
You're going to try everything you can, but you may not. And if we respect that, we respect that distancing. The reality is I only have contact with one person, and that's my caddy. We're not going to stay 6 feet away from each other. So throughout the day, I only have contact with one person. It's less than I do when I'm going out here, going around town and playing golf in my local club. I have a guy cleaning the cart. I have a guy doing this and that. We're going to have more distancing on the PGA Tour at the event than we do on our normal day in and day out situation. And we're going to have testing. We're going to have thermal testing as soon as you got on the golf course. We're going to have nose swabs as soon as you show up to the event. We are going to be beyond safe because we know as the PGA Tour that if this doesn't go and we don't pull this off, all of sports is not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
And we got to take this seriously. And a lot of things he raised are joking matter, but if we do joke about it, we could shut all the sports down all over the world. So it's a little different story than he's painting. It's something we're all taking very seriously. We do have all those answers that he didn't say he has an answer to. Now, he may be media, the reason why he's not getting all those answers, but we have all those answers.
Well, that's good to hear, Charlie. Charlie Huffman is with us real quick from the PGA Tour, PGA Tour professional. And so is it safe to say, Charlie, that you speak for most of the golfers in the sense that you're going to feel pretty safe and comfortable out there competing?
I mean, our biggest fear as a group that we represent is the travel. Obviously, that's a little bit out of our hands. Now, how you choose to travel there is up to you. You can fly commercial. You can fly private. You can drive. There's a lot of different ways to get around each week in and week out. The tour's most likely going to have a charter from Monday to sort of stay in the bubble. We're going to have a host hotel, so on and so forth. Once we get on the golf course, there's literally zero interaction if you don't want to. You don't have to go to the locker room and change your shoes. You can change your shoes in the trunk of your car. You don't have to be right next to somebody on the range. Now, there is a thing with a caddy, and you're going to be close to the caddy. He was talking about push carts. Let's put it this way. Some media got a hold of some press release that wasn't even official that he's basing his content off of. So it's sort of bad content that he had going at you guys. It was leaked through, I forget, Whacker or something like that. But it's typical media trying to get something. But it wasn't even released yet. It was so far not even official what he was basing a lot of his facts off of. So I just want to set this as a local guy that loves you guys. And I think Michael's the best. And I'd say this right to Michael's face because he's a good friend of mine. That some of the facts he's stating is not true. Now, was it funny to listen to him? Great to listen to? Yes. But it's what he's saying is not all true.
Charlie,
well, that was so cool that you came on, man. We appreciate it.
It's so cool that you listen to us. First of all, that is awesome. One
you
more
know,
question.
I love sports talk. I love the local vibe, and I love supporting all talk radio. And I mean, I love sports just like any other sport fan.
That's awesome. Well, can I get one more question, Charlie? How will you guys?
You got all the time in the world.
How are you guys handling the rain delays? Because it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, the golfing part seems like that'll be the easiest and safest part of the evening. If there is a rain delay, how will that be handled?
So most weeks, and this isn't every week, there's clubhouses, huge clubhouses that each and every golf course has. Okay. Now, most of the time, those are filled with fans and corporate sponsors. Guess what? You don't have fans nor corporate sponsors. So we have thousands of square feet of clubhouse to social distance in. It is very unlikely you're going to go to your car unless you want social distance to the max your own self. Now, when you go inside, you'd be ignorant or you'd be dumb not to put a mask on, just like everybody else. When we go inside any rest or any store or anything like we do now, we're still going to follow all the local health regulations. We're not going to try to say that we're immune to this disease and we can't get it. That's not true. So we're going to still follow all the guidelines. We're not going to all of a sudden walk around and be giving us each other high fives in the locker room and hanging out and sharing plates of food from a buffet. I mean, that's not going to happen. That's the way it used to be, but that's not the way it's going to happen anymore. So we've got plenty of square footage. We've got a plan. Week in and week out is going to differ because each clubhouse is going to differ. Now, media may struggle a little bit because they're not going to be allowed in the clubhouse. But I think we're only going to have like 12 media people, essential media, there. I mean, we're talking bare minimum people on ground for those situations. I mean, we're going to be able to pull this off. We know we got to take all the precautions to the max so we don't mess this up for everybody in all the world of sports and all of our jobs. I mean, let's be honest. If this gets shut down, where does football go? Where does baseball go? Hockey? I mean, so on and so forth. If we can't pull this off with the distance we have between all our competitors, no one's going to be able to pull it off.
Charlie Hoffman from the PGA Tour, Poway Zone, joining us here on Gwynn and Chris. Very nice of him to just call in. Charlie, how's the swing look as you get ready for the year? Are you feeling like you're going to have a big year? Can we predict a nice year for you?
Yeah, you know what? It's been great. I took full 6 weeks off, didn't touch a club. Well, obviously, as you know, a lot of courses here in California were closed, almost all of them. Been playing as of late with some of the local pros. I heard you talk about Phil. Played with him yesterday. Played with Xander. Actually played with not a fan favorite, probably the San Diego media day, John Spanos. So I'm playing with a few people, trying to stay active and get some games going on. And, you know, I'm going to enjoy this weekend with the family. We're lucky enough to have a beach house down in Mission Beach that we do full vacation rental at. But we'll take advantage of people canceling, and we're going to go use it for a couple days.
Good for you guys. Real quick, you mentioned playing with Phil. Any predictions for this week's match?
You know what? Phil's a gamer. He is taking this seriously. He's been playing 18 to 36 holes a day, getting prepared, getting ready.
Wow.
I never bet against Phil, let's put it this way. But I never bet against Tiger Woods either. And then you can't bet against Brady or Peyton Manning. You know what? I just hope it's great content. I hope they talk trash back and forth like they do when we're playing. And if they do that, then it's going to be a great show, and they're going to raise a bunch of money for some great charities in COVID-19, and that's what it's all about. They're going to put a good product out there, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I look forward to tuning in on Sunday.
Charlie,
that was so cool that you called. Thank you, man.
That was awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening
let's
and setting us straight.
Do it again.
Most definitely. Thank you again.
All right. Take it easy, guys. See ya.
Wow. Charlie nice. Hoffman right there.
Very cool. Those are the kind of things that can happen on the Gwynn and Chris show. We've been talking about something, and somebody
awesome.
Just call in. That was sweet. Nice to have Charlie Hoffman on the program. Nice to have Michael Collins on as well. And it'll be nice to have some golf we can watch this weekend with Tiger Woods and with Mickelson and Peyton Manning, I'm looking forward to. By the way, Tony, Peyton Manning got a second left here. Peyton Manning renewed to do a second season of Peyton's Places, that show that was on ESPN Plus. So That was pretty good. By the way, Charlie Hoffman and Michael Collins both appeared on the SDCCU fan hotline. Vote SDCCU for best credit union in the Union Tribune readers poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big bank banking. It's better. All right, my friend, we got tomorrow off. We have Monday off. I got a nice tweet to go out with from Eric Stengel here.
Give it to us.
At Eric Stengel, he said, I sure am glad there's a long weekend coming up. It will be nice to finally have some time to sit around the house and do nothing.
That's solid.
That is solid. All right, sir. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
Everybody have a good weekend out there. For Tony Gwynn Jr., for Scraby, Crisello, enjoy your Memorial Day. Be safe, be smart, be diligent. And we'll catch up with you Tuesday at 3 right here on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.